Hi, I'm Sophie, Marketplace Risks AI Assistant. Welcome to Series 9 of the Platform Podcast, hosted by Marketplace Risk founder Jeremy Gottschalk. The Platform Podcast features marketplace and digital platform founders and leaders sharing valuable lessons that can be leveraged to help you successfully launch and grow. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not professional advice. For specific issues, please seek an appropriate professional or contact us at info@marketplacerisk.com for a referral.
Welcome to the Platform Podcast. On this episode, I'm joined by Nicola Gandhi, co-founder of Azacus.io and an offensive cybersecurity expert, also known as an ethical hacker. Nicola, it's great to have you.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Jeremy.
I've heard of ethical hacking and offensive cybersecurity, but can you talk about exactly what that means?
Sure. So I think, as you've rightly said there, we're talking about offensive cybersecurity. Typically, when we think of cybersecurity, we're thinking of all of those defensive measures that we take on our platforms. We're thinking of all of those really important things that we put in place to protect ourselves. So offensive cybersecurity is the opposite of that. What we do is, it's commonly called, as you rightly say, ethical hacking. We refer to it as penetration testing or pen testing. And what that means is we are manual human hackers, friendly hackers, who will approach your system, your platform, and its underlying infrastructure in the same ways that an adversary might or a malicious hacker might. And what we're doing there is we're looking to penetrate those defensive measures that you have put in place. We identify where your platform is vulnerable and specifically how that vulnerability can be exploited in your specific environment and what the potential business impact of that could be. So what we're trying to do is get to all of your cyber risks before an attacker might. And we're making you very aware of all of the things that you can do and all of the measures that you can take to manage and mitigate those risks. And I think what we provide is a very clear platform for a cyber risk management strategy. So if you haven't even thought about or considered what kind of cyber risks you might be facing, we hear about it all the time, right? There's so much noise around cybersecurity, cyber risk. But if you, in your specific context, have not actually looked at what risks are very specific to you, then you're not really able to allocate resources to minimize and mitigate in the right place. So it's kind of what I would compare it to is, I would say, before you go to a pharmacy, you don't go straight to the pharmacy and buy one of every drug that's in the store, right? You don't buy one of everything just so it might cover all eventualities. You will go see a doctor first. They will tell you what's wrong, and then they will tell you how to fix that. And then you go to the pharmacy and you buy your product. So it's the same with what we do. We're the diagnostic team. We'll come in and tell you where your risks are, and then you can go and you can put those measures in place if you choose to.
It's very similar kind of when I think of risk management and I talk to people about risk management, it's kind of the way you articulated that is very similar in the sense that I talk about all of the bad things that can happen on your platform that you don't necessarily know. And many of them are blind spots. Many of the times, because we're not bad people, we don't think of these things. And so you actually need to think like a hacker. You need to think like a bad person. And obviously, you know, we can't do this ourselves. And so having somebody else go through that process for you, I think is super key. If we're flying the helicopter up a little bit in the world of cyber-related risks, what are we talking about? Like, what are the biggest issues in cybersecurity that you're seeing on a daily basis that people should be aware of now?
Mm-hmm. So I think you've alluded to one just there, which is I come across so often, which is when I'm speaking to platform owners and we say, okay, how many user roles do you have, or what is this functionality? And they'll say, oh, well, we have three, but we only use two, or we have this functionality, but only the admin users will use that. And that's great that you are using it how you should, right? You're using it as you would as a legitimate, great, like, good user. But what we approach it is, we would say, okay, but how could we take advantage of that? And you might only be using two roles, but as an attacker, we want to use that third role and find out what we can do, especially if you're not using it, because chances are you've not put in place the right defenses and measures around that role that you're not using. It might not,
right.
Certain things might not be updated. So that, I think we need to start thinking about what legitimate users of your platform can do to take advantage of it. And for this, I would use an example of, like, my dad. He's 73 and he's a keen golfer. And he uses an application platform to book his tee time, right? To go out on a Saturday. But he is frustrated. And every time I speak to him, he's like, you have to figure out how I can take advantage of this app. You've got to hack it. You've got to help me hack it. I can't get the 9 a.m. tee time I want on Saturday. He's a legitimate user. And he wants to take advantage. So I think it would be remiss of us to assume that legitimate users of our platform will not seek to bypass things. So it's not just about attackers. It's about how legitimate users can do it. For example, reusing discount codes, getting around features that you have in place. You know, once people find a loophole, they're going to run with that, and they're not going to tell you about it, right? They're just going to keep running with that. So keep an open mind around who might want to take advantage. So that's one of the biggest risks, I would say, is the risk of legitimate users on weak platforms is a significant risk. And I think probably separate, and as you say, flying the helicopter a little higher, what are we seeing? Well, I don't think it's any surprise to say that, you know, state-sponsored attacks are right up there, and especially in the geopolitical situation that we're in currently. And how can it affect smaller businesses and platforms? That remains to be seen, but the fact is that it likely will, right? So consider that state-sponsored activity currently ranges from targeting national grids and health systems and infrastructure, right the way down to infiltrating Joe Bloggs on his social media account and influencing something that a Facebook user will do on a very individual basis. So to think that it won't affect businesses that are in between those, in between the individual and the huge sort of state infrastructure, I think that it would be a grave oversight that it's not worth ignoring, to think that we wouldn't be, you know, in that middle market, why we wouldn't be impacted at some point. We will. And let's not say that state-sponsored attacking is not ever going to affect us, right? So we have to be very conscious and proactive around that. And then, right. You know, I think related to that, I would say that there are things that are coming in to try and protect us from those threats, and that would be in the form of things like regulatory compliance. Okay, so threats aren't always coming from cyber criminals. We've talked there that they're coming as well from legitimate users of our platform. But risk is also associated with, if you are not compliant to regulations that are coming up, or things that you're currently should be falling under the umbrella of, you know, you can be tripped up by not adhering to these requirements, be that being late to the party and just having to frantically rush around to meet your regulatory compliance, which can be quite costly and can be quite stressful. Or even worse is if you find yourself in violation of regulations that can have legal, financial and reputational implications just as much as a cyber attack could. So we're seeing some of those kind of things coming in. So I think when we're saying, like, what are the big cyber related risks, we're not just talking about attackers and state sponsored attacks. The risks come equally from things such as falling foul of regulatory compliance, ignoring what legitimate users can do to your platform. It's quite far reaching. And I think we need to start getting excited as well about, and not just too fearful. There's a lot going on. And, you know, it's important to keep these conversations going so that we don't drop the ball on any of these different risk related areas.
Right. And not to bring it back to me again, but, you know, the thing about I found about cybersecurity as a part of, you know, kind of risk management is nobody wants to talk about it until something really bad happens. And then all of a sudden there people are paying attention to it when it's kind of too late. Right. So part of what I've always seen as my job and what I see of Azacus and yourself is bringing the conversation up before you actually need it, and solving a problem before it actually occurs, because, you know, and it's kind of like evangelizing something that people can't see, almost like vaporware, right? Like, you can't actually see it. So does it exist? Luckily or not, I think a lot of the huge data breaches and things like that have shown a light on, however you say that, on this topic. And the reality is it's not just Target and Home Depot. It's really any, it could be any platform where there's data held, right? And so one of the things I think that, when you talk about pen testing and I'd love to drill down a little bit deeper into that and specifically talk about one of the examples that where this proved to be very, very valuable. If you could kind of drill down into an example so people understand specifically what does this mean and what does it look like and what's the benefit?
Yeah, sure. Happy to share an example. So actually one of the marketplace risk community we worked quite closely with throughout the past few years is a platform that's providing, it's basically the Airbnb of creative spaces, right? It's Gabriel's platform, Tutti. Quite a lot of people will be familiar with Gabriel, and we've done quite a bit of work with him over the past couple of years. So we agreed to conduct some manual penetration testing into the Tutti platform. This hadn't been done before, but Gabriel had been implementing good, healthy development life cycles. He'd been developing with a great team, and they are very security conscious people. They're developing from a security conscious perspective and so on, as developers do. And they know their application better than anybody else, right? So, but the benefit of implementing some of this testing early on for Gabriel and pushing that as far left in his business as he could, and just putting a little bit of resource there in the early stages, is the benefit that that has provided on the foundation, and everything that he's doing after that, right? So actually, I'm going to start that again, Jeremy. So the example that I'm going to do,
I'm just
going to start that again. So if we can edit that out, I'll just take a minute to pause and I'll start again. Okay, so I would love to share one example of a marketplace risk community member that we have been working with for the past couple of years. So these guys were developing from a security conscious perspective, as many marketplaces do. You're working with your development team and they know the platform inside out. They know what you're looking to achieve, and they're doing that from a safety conscious and security conscious perspective. But they're not pen testers, and we are. And so what value can we bring? Well, there's a difference as well. It's worth highlighting between vulnerability scanning and manual penetration testing. And during your development, you may well be running regular vulnerability scans, and that's great. But they can throw up a lot of false positives. It might be that the team are not necessarily fully aware of what they can do with those reports. And the benefit of coming in with manual pen testing is we're able to look at your business case, look at your business specifically, and really get hands-on with how we could take advantage of your platform in whatever that looks like, whatever way that looks like. So for this platform specifically, we were able to change a commission fee to zero. So that meant that we were paying for our platform, but we were not having to pay a percentage fee on top of that to the platform owner. So you might say that's not necessarily a huge risk, but it is. If that's done, again, as I said earlier, once someone finds a loophole, and then that can continue over time, then you're losing out on significant financial amounts, right? So there's a risk there that's financial. It's not necessarily about, losing loads of data or having access to it. It's about, there's different risks associated. We have to be aware as well. Data is a really, really valuable commodity, and it's currently the most valuable commodity out there. Our data is worth a lot of money to a lot of people. So we need to start treating it with the respect that it deserves. We would protect our bank account, right? Let's start protecting our and other people's data in the same way, because it's really important. So with this specific example, we highlighted a number of different vulnerabilities, how they could be exploited, and they went in, they fixed them all. They did a really diligent job of remediating all of those things. Now it's up to them whether they wanted to just do the high risks or they wanted to do the medium ones and leave the lows till later, but no, they did it all. Then I would say 6-8 months later, I was actually out with the platform owner, and he started getting a ton of emails coming in saying that he had newly registered users, and they all seemed to be from like junk email addresses. So he was quite clearly under attack, right? And his platform was under attack. However, although it was annoying to have all of these users registering on his platform, he was much more comfortable and calm knowing that once they were in, they weren't able to do anything because he'd been pen tested and he was comfortable knowing that, okay, they might be in there, but they can't deface my website. They can't access data that they shouldn't. They can't email everybody on my platform. They can't commit a denial of service and take my entire system down. He knew that he was covered against all of those things, and that buys you a huge peace of mind and also allows you to come up with a way to, you know, start dealing with the issue, which is loads of illegitimate registered users on your platform, and consider a workaround for that. As annoying as it might be,
On the topic of peace of mind, what are your recommendations that people listening can do today on the topic of kind of cybersecurity, protecting themselves, protecting their platform?
Yeah. So there's a few really quick wins, right? So I would say the one thing that I see very often is people not implementing multi-factor authentication. Right. So it's one of those things that's a little bit annoying. That it will always come down to this dance that security does with usability, right? So yes, you have to have security there and it can be a bit of a pain. But implementing MFA on your platform is one of the best things that you can do. So password reuse is also a pretty huge problem. And it's a very easy way in. But if you have MFA there, it's a quick fix for your customers and for you. And personally, I use a password manager. I don't reuse any passwords. I would recommend that as well for anybody on a personal level, as get a password manager, don't reuse your passwords, implement MFA on your platform and get that up and running. The second thing I would recommend is updating systems. Okay, so if there's a newer version of any component on your platform, whatever that might be, keep updating it, because there are some vulnerabilities that we see very regularly. They're fairly low level, but they can have significant implications. That is that, you know, the system is leaking sort of information about different components related to your platform. Once an attacker knows what platform you're using or what components you're using, they're able to go away and say, okay, is this vulnerable in any way? And if so, how? And they will try and exploit those vulnerabilities that are in that system. So if you keep things updated, those are patched regularly, and you're less at risk of someone trying to find a way in. So first, MFA, second, updating systems. And thirdly, I would say, you know, I speak from my own perspective here, but I would recommend scoping a pen test, right? So you might not necessarily plan to do it straight away, but I already said the further left that you can push this in your business planning process, the more value you're going to get from it. So especially if you have never conducted a pen test on your platform, and I'm talking about platforms that are more complicated than like a WordPress site. Once you've got something that's more bespoke, you've got to get pen testing factored in. So get it scoped. There's no obligation, right? But at least you, if you get it scoped out, you can budget accordingly. You can plan for it in your release life cycle. And when those regulations and those requirements that I alluded to earlier on our chat inevitably kick in for you, like you have the budget there, you have the plan there, you have the contact there, and you're not going to be caught off guard, right? So plan to make remediations to things too, because you're inevitably going to have some vulnerabilities that are exploitable in your environment, especially if you're bespoke, especially if you've never been pen tested. So start thinking offensively and not just defensively, right? It's amazing to have loads of these fantastic trust and safety features that I hear about through, you know, marketplace risk all the time, and really creative features as well. But it's really important to think about the potential risks as well as the potential benefits of implementing all of these amazing creative and innovative features. So those are my quick wins.
Right. So I want to ask you a couple follow-ups. One is on password reuse. So I too use Google's the app, basically, but I don't know exactly how different websites or services get hooked up with that. Not all of them offer it. So when it isn't an option for multi-factor authentication, I have like a password, let's call it equation, in my head. So none of my passwords as of a couple of years ago, none of them are the same. But if I were to, like, you know, be housing billions of dollars in crypto and people were coming after me and they figured out one of my passwords, you know, if you figured out, I think, 5 or 10 of them, you could probably figure out all of them, right? Because it's a formula. Because the thing is I don't want to write it down anywhere. I also think like somebody finds that. So one of the things, I guess one of my questions there is like, is when people have to create passwords, is there any like advice or thoughts on like, you know, I'm going to give you an example. This is not what I use, but like, let's say you were to take the whatever website, and reverse the letters, swap out the vowels with numbers, and then add a series of numbers and a special character, right? So in every time you go to a website, let's say it's Walmart, right? You'd spell Walmart backwards, switch out the vowels, add those same numbers, and then a special character. Is there any advice you can give some people when they're coming up with passwords so that they're not writing them down, so they can be remembered or at least figured out in their own brain?
Good question. I would definitely advise against writing any passwords down anywhere. Definitely don't put them on post-it notes around your monitor either, right? You don't want a password book that's called password book, and for multiple different reasons, right? There's tons of risk associated with that. In terms of an equation, I wouldn't, right? So I would also think about passphrases. Okay, so the longer your password is, the more secure it's going to be. As long as you're not using something like, you know, Gone with the Wind, right? That's easy to guess, and it's brute force. You know, so there's lots of these trollers that will kind of, you can brute force passwords, right? So you want to create something that's fairly strong. I use passphrases if I need to create a password myself that can't be part of my password manager. And that would essentially be 3 different words that are completely unrelated, but they might mean something to you. They're not your mum's maiden name and all these things. They might mean something to you, and you can give yourself a prompt in your notepad or whatever that maybe is the first letter of those words, or you're giving yourself a prompt. Sure. Asking to, so if you have a passphrase, it doesn't, unless they're forcing you to pick numbers and special characters, you can add those in as you see fit. But I would think about a passphrase, right? 3 completely unrelated words, stick a capital letter in there somewhere, stick a number in there somewhere. But they are then easier when you start using them, especially if you need to use them fairly regularly. It's a little bit easier to do. Now, don't forget, you can always password reset, okay? You can always go through the reset process.
Right, it's annoying, again, we've covered that.
But I would say, rather than equations, because you can trip yourself up with that too, and also they can become guessable, you know, especially if you're using words that are backwards, you're replacing the letters with the numbers. That's a fairly, you know, we're not the first people to think of that. So... you can also go onto there are websites out there for passphrase generators, and they just randomly pick, it's like the monkey and the typewriter. Yeah, they just randomly pick some words for you, and then you can copy paste those. You can use those and give yourself some kind of little prompt or reminder, or save them into your password manager manually.
Interesting. Yeah. On the updating on systems, my question there is, and maybe this is obvious and it's a dumb question, but you know, are you aware of like bad hackers that once they discover that maybe an iOS they're releasing an update because of some bug or because of some vulnerability, do the hackers then exploit that purposely for anybody who hasn't updated their system? Like, is it like an announcement? And so when you see that, it is that, or you need to be urgent. You need to act quickly because now the hackers know about it as well. Like, how does that factor into the speed with which you need to actually update your systems?
Yeah, Jeremy, you're already thinking like a hacker, right? I love this. It's great. So exactly, 100%. As soon as a new release comes out, especially if it's patching vulnerabilities in an old release, attackers will specifically go looking for platforms and systems that are using those old features, especially if they're known to be vulnerable. 100%. So there's absolutely an urgency around keeping things updated, and I would recommend that you need to go through a regular cycle of updating. There are some free tools mm-hmm. that you can use as well to see what, you know, this is the thing, there's free tools that you and I can access, and we can see what systems are being used on various different platforms. We can see if those are out of date, and then it's very easy mm-hmm. to try and see what previous releases in what ways they're vulnerable. So I think that, yeah, there's definitely a pressing need. And it's one of the reasons why I think it's one of the quick things that you can do to be in a stronger position. I think that you should go out today, check that your systems, all of your different components on your platform are up to date. And if they're not, make a plan to remediate that pretty quickly. It's a quick win.
Yeah, I think it's super important. I mean, it was, to me, it was a light bulb moment, but I think it's super important. And again, I'm just thinking about my iPhone, right? When I see that, I think like, oh, I'll do it later because, you know, I don't want to like lose my phone for an hour or maybe I'm busy. But the reality is that is an alert for hackers to exploit for people who don't do it urgently. So interesting. I think that's good advice for all of us. Thank you for joining me. But before we go, do you have any parting thoughts or anything you want to leave us with?
I think my parting thoughts, every company is a tech company now, right? We have to remember this. So you can no longer get away with saying cybersecurity is not my responsibility. I'm not technical. I hope that this discussion today has helped to highlight to people that cybersecurity is not just for the technical members of your team. Okay, it's everyone has to take an interest in this, and it has to become a risk that you manage and mitigate along with the other significant risks of your business, be those legal, financial, reputational. Cyber risk feeds into all of those now, and it's not just for the technical members of your team. It is for you as leaders to start really embracing mm-hmm. it and getting excited about it as well, so that trickles down. And it's not just about people as founders, right? You should be assuring investors, partners, clients, and your platform users that their data is valuable and that you are treating it responsibly. And if you cannot look your customer in the eye and say this to them with confidence, then you have to do some serious thinking about whether you're doing all you should be. But thankfully, you know, there's lots of friendly people in cyber about, it's not all about scare tactics, right? There's lots of friendly hackers like us around. And I'm always happy to connect with any members of the community to help reassure them and help get people get more excited about cyber.
Well, that is amazing. I will say that one of the things you said there that I say all the time as well is, you know, investors in especially tech companies, they are the ones who really should be putting the value on this and impressing upon their founders and their portfolio companies how important this is, because it's their investment that's at stake. But it doesn't always seem to resonate. And so part of the reason why I love this conversation is because, you know, I hope that people are listening and realizing the value of pen testing, the value of offensive cybersecurity, and the risks if you don't do it, because I think that people, you know, will continue to need to hear it and will continue to bang the drum. Where do people find you?
So I'm on LinkedIn, and you can find us, you can view what we do at azacus.io. I'm also a member of the Marketplace Risk Advisory Board, so you can always reach me through Marketplace Risk directly. I'm always happy to have a longer conversation with any members of the community.
Awesome. Nicola, thank you for joining me on the Platform Podcast.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning into the Platform Podcast. You can check out more episodes at marketplacerisk.com, along with information about our conferences, virtual events, and resources designed to help marketplaces and digital platforms successfully launch and grow. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Marketplace Risk to stay up to date on upcoming programs, events, and important news.